From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. More than 100 people turned out for an open house that state transportation officials held yesterday about potential improvements to the intersection near Juneau's Fred Meyer. Traditional safety and congestion metrics wouldn't make improving this intersection a high priority. That's why the Department of Transportation is trying a different approach on this project that relies more heavily on public dialogue. I was at the open house and I filed this story. Before most of us are off work, 50 people had already signed in at the open house at the Nugget Mall about the intersection of Egan Drive and Yandukan Drive. There's a lot of community interest in what can be done about this problematic junction. The department is planning for this project differently than it usually does. The process distinctions are pretty in the weeds, but what you should know is this approach gives the public more influence earlier on. Ben Story is the Department of Transportation's South Coast Region Environmental Manager.
That intersection is a choke point. You know, when there's an accident, things shut down, thousands of people are not going to get by for a while, right? Can we show that via our dialogue with the public and really show that, yes, there is something wrong at this intersection and it needs attention?
The department is bouncing the range of intersection improvement ideas off the community to narrow its list down to what has public support. Normally, the department would evaluate options internally and back a specific approach before the public formally weighs in. The emphasis on public dialogue is also important because, by the numbers, it's not an exceptionally dangerous or congested intersection. State and federal officials normally weigh those metrics heavily when they rank projects for major funding. Public input may help get across that this intersection is a major choke point in Juneau's unique geography and help its chances of getting funded. Transportation officials presented several possible improvement options and logged 42 written comments. More are likely to come in the mail on the pre-addressed comment forms they distributed. They shared several ideas for reconfiguring the intersection on blown-up aerial images put on easels. Public opinion doesn't appear to be gelling around any one fix.
A lot of us wonder why the easiest solution isn't just connecting at the McNugget intersection to Old Glacier Highway behind Fred Meyer. I would close all turns across Egan Expressway at that intersection. I think most of the people making a left-hand turn into Fred Meyer, they could use that old Glacier Highway entrance.
That's Susan Hickey. Steve Tran was a fan of the option traffic consultants backed, an overpass with on-ramps and off-ramps.
I like the one that have you go to circle, the one number three. Mm-hmm. That's what I like more.
The overpass and the traffic circles.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Karen Smith thinks that's overkill.
So overpass, not into it?
I don't think it's needed. I think it'd be a much more expensive option than a red light.
And Dave Hanna had an idea that wasn't considered in the initial traffic study. Eliminate left turns at the Egan-Yandukan intersection and rebuild the McDonald's Nugget Mall intersection as an interchange with access to Glacier Highway behind the Fred Meyer.
Do grade separation at the McDonald's intersection. Eliminate that light. Do an overpass there.
That means an overpass there. Oh, I see.
Right.
I see.
It did sound like people are unhappy with the status quo, unregulated left turns across two lanes of highway traffic. The department is aiming for a final report from this stage of the planning process next year, sometime between July and September. That would lead into the design and construction process. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea. For more information about the Egan and Yandukan intersection project and to share your comments, go to eganyandukan.com/online meeting. Residents of Angoon have been unable to travel by ferry for nearly 3 weeks. The Alaska Marine Highway System hopes to restore service to about 500 people who live there by mid-December. In the meantime, the city is discussing other transportation options for getting to and from Juneau. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
When the Alaska Marine Highway System docked the Leconte and Aurora for repairs at the end of October, four communities in southeast Alaska lost winter ferry service: Angoon, Tenneke, Pelican, and Gustavus. None of them can be accessed by road, and only Gustavus has a runway for landing planes. Angoon Mayor Joshua Bowen says this has made it difficult to bring goods into the community.
You know, no one was able to go over to Juneau to do any shopping, grocery shopping and supplies and all that for the month of November. The biggest part is there's no vehicles. The only way that we're able to move vehicles in and out of Angoon is on the ferry. And, you know, our store they have big trucks and, you know, that they load up with their supplies and all that and groceries.
Recently, AMHS decided to deploy the Tazlina to restore winter ferry service to some Southeast Alaska communities. The ship will provide trips between Juneau, Haines, Skagway, Hoonah, and Gustavus starting this week. The Tazlina can't serve Angoon right now because there's a problem with the ferry dock. AMHS spokesperson Sam Dapsevich says its ramp is broken.
At some point a while back, it was damaged. There's a couple of arms that are attached to the motors that lift it up and down, and those arms were bent. The Leconte and the Aurora had their own ramp on the stern of the vessel, so they would back in and lower their ramp.
The Tazlina doesn't have a ramp, so right now it can't load and offload at Angoon's dock. Dapsevich says it will take some time to repair the dock's loading ramp, but AMHS is working on a quick fix for the interim.
We're exploring the option of using heavy equipment to raise and lower the apron. And when those details are worked out, we'll have a better idea of the service that will be available for Angoon.
AMHS has scheduled the Tazlina to make trips between Juneau and Angoon on December 13th and December 15th. In the meantime, the city of Angoon is looking into hiring private marine transportation to shuttle residents to and from Juneau. Mayor Bowen says that Allen Marine has catamarans that could carry up to 150 people, depending on the amount of freight on board.
We're not trying to find a permanent solution to replace the ferry system. We're just trying to get our people back and forth any way we can.
The city has proposed hiring catamarans for November 24th, 27th, and 30th. Bowen says they would like to cap ticket prices at $65. Residents from Tenneke may be included on those runs to Juneau as well. As for larger freight, the city may contract the Gold Belt Corporation to send ships over from Juneau in December. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
If you've got a few billion dollars in the bank and want a stake in some North Slope oil projects, ConocoPhillips has a deal for you. The company announced this week that it wants to sell a 25% stake in an array of its North Slope assets. They include the existing Kuparuk and Alpine fields, along with the undeveloped Willow prospect in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. Sometimes oil companies sell off projects if they aren't measuring up to expectations, but in this case, company spokeswoman Natalie Lohman says Conoco's announcement reflects that it's investing in a number of big projects on the North Slope.
And it costs a lot of money. So what we're looking for is a company that shares our vision for increasing production on the North Slope.
Right now, Conoco owns 100%, or close to it, of the assets it's looking to sell, and it's not interested in giving up more than a quarter. It's not unusual for oil companies to split project ownership into chunks to help share costs. Conoco owns about a third of the big Prudhoe Bay field, for example, with BP and ExxonMobil also holding stakes. The asking price is not going to be made publicly, and no, Lohman says the sale is not going to be posted on Craigslist.
This is a large commercial negotiation, and I think those people who are interested will know how to find us.
It will likely take a deep-pocketed oil company to afford to buy into Conoco's assets and still have enough cash left over to pay for the required investments in the newer projects. Conoco is planning to spend more than $10 billion in Alaska over the next decade. An Alaska company has opened the state's largest solar farm with expectations of generating enough electricity to power about 200 homes. The Alaska Journal of Commerce reported Monday that Renewable IPP officially opened the 1.2 megawatt facility near Willow on November 15th. Company officials say the facility is expected to come online in December. Renewable IPP says the facility includes 3,240 solar panels in 11 rows on the property along the park's highway north of Anchorage. Officials say the solar farm has expanded from a 140-kilowatt pilot project consisting of 408 panels that was activated last year. Officials say the project is expected to offset enough power produced by the region's natural gas-fired power plants to prevent about 2 million pounds of carbon dioxide emissions per year. Whalers in Alaska's northernmost town of Utsjavik have finally landed their first bowhead of the season. This comes after what some veterans said was an unprecedented absence of marine mammals amid record-setting air and water temperatures. Social media postings from the North Slope hub town show members of the successful crew standing in the dark in front of the 25-foot bowhead. Whaling is an ancient cultural tradition for the North Slope's Inupiat people, and the meat is an important food source for residents. This year, the dozens of whaling crews from Utsjavik went without a bowhead for nearly 2 months after the season opened in mid-September. Last fall, they'd landed 19 bowheads by late October. Utsjavik whalers weren't even spotting bowheads earlier this fall, and scientists flying aerial surveys found bowheads much farther offshore than their normal range, although other North Slope villages farther east did manage to land whales. Utsjavik and the ocean that surrounds it have experienced record warmth this past summer and fall. Experts, including whalers and scientific researchers, theorize that the whales may have moved offshore in search of food or cooler water. If you've ever wanted to own a small biweekly newspaper in Alaska but didn't have the money, this could be your chance. The publisher of the Skagway News is willing to give the paper away to the right person if they're willing to move to the Southeast Alaska community and be a part of the community. Publisher Larry Persley says he's willing to help out the new owners by giving away the paper because the advertising will afford them a living wage, but not on top of a mortgage. And finally, an Alaska woman on trial for waving a gun around inside a bar has been charged with stealing the same gun from an evidence box near the judge's bench. Alaska State Troopers say 29-year-old Tiffany Flenaugh, during a break in the trial Tuesday, carried the .45 caliber pistol out of the courthouse and hid it in the snow. Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports police arrested Flenaugh as she re-entered the courthouse. She's represented by the Alaska Public Defender's Office, which declined comment. Quick National Weather Service check. Service has issued a special weather statement covering just about all of Southeast Alaska, including Juneau and Northern Admiralty Island. Heavy rainfall over the northern Gulf Coast will spread eastward into the rest of the northern panhandle today and persist into Thursday morning. Rainfall amounts of 5 to 6 inches are expected in the Yakutat area during the 48 hours from Tuesday through Wednesday night. For other areas of the panhandle, including Juneau, Haines, and Sitka, 2 to 4 inches of rainfall are expected. This will mean high river and lake levels through midweek. However, no flooding is expected with this system. Strong winds in areas of steep terrain may pose a risk of mudslides. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, November 20th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.